In the name of Jesus, grace, mercy, and peace to you, and God our Father, and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And now I'm going to answer the question that many of you have been wondering about, that many of you have been asking yourselves, what in the world is dropsy? Dropsy, if I'm correct, is better known today by the term edema. Is that correct, Joyce? And is that the correct pronunciation? Yes, all right, I got it, sermon over with. Edema, or dropsy, is a condition that is not in itself the disease, but is rather a symptom of a disease. It's swelling of the body cavities, swelling around the joints by an accumulation of fluid, because the heart's not working as it should, because there is a form of cancer in the abdomen. Again, dropsy is not the disease, but a symptom of the disease. Just as, for example, the actual sins which we commit are not themselves the disease, but are symptoms of the disease, that we are fallen, sinful creatures by nature. Sin, the acts of sin that we commit, come from that disease of the sin, the original sin that we have inherited from Adam. And if you understand sin in that sense, you can see all kinds of dropsy throughout today's gospel reading. Jesus is at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees on the Sabbath for a Sabbath meal. He was the visiting rabbi, and it was his opportunity to speak and to teach at the table of the Pharisee. Notice that they, other Pharisees, were watching Jesus closely. It's not as though they were hanging on every word, thinking, wow, what a wonderful teacher. We've never heard anything like this before. It's because, as we see many times in the Gospels, they wanted to catch Jesus in his words. They wanted to hear him say something that contradicted what they believed. They wanted him to do something that went against their ideas of the law of God and what God demanded and what God required. And they did not have to wait long. Behold, a man appeared before Jesus who had dropsy. Now, Jesus apparently knew what the scribes and the Pharisees were saying within themselves, because he responded to them, we are told. In the Greek it says, he answered them saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? Is it lawful to do any work on the Sabbath or not? Particularly a work of mercy and compassion. That is what Jesus is asking. Remember that Jesus said, man is not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man. The time of rest, the time to hear God's word, the time to receive the gracious words and works of a God who loves us and has compassion upon us, despite the fact that we are by nature sinful and unclean. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they remained silent. They probably stared stonily at Jesus, refusing to answer. They wanted to see what he would do. And then Jesus took this man with dropsy, and he healed him, and he sent him away. They were probably scandalized, because Jesus, in their eyes, had broken the law of Sabbath rest. Yet think of this man with dropsy. Think of his labored breathing prior to Jesus' healing of him. Think of how difficult it was for him to get around. He entered into a state of new rest because of this healing. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? They didn't answer. So Jesus said to them, "Which of you, if you had a son or an ox that fell into a well on a Sabbath day, would not immediately pull him out, immediately rescue him?" And that's what I've done with this man who appeared before us. I pulled him out of the well, the pit of sickness. I pulled him out as an example, a manifestation of the love and mercy of God. I pulled him out and restored him to new life. And here we have a foretaste of the resurrection of the body at the end of the age, because Jesus will pull us out of our graves, out of our tombs, and raise us up to newness of life in power and in glory. But they did not reply to anything that Jesus said. Again, they were stubborn. They were hard-hearted. And their silence was a manifestation of that sinful nature that was in them, that rejected God the Son who had come among them, who has come into the world full of grace and mercy and truth. Now, Jesus noted at this dinner how people were scrambling for the places of honor. The places of honor at a feast like this were to the right and to the left of the host of the banquet. And the further away you got from the host, you were considered lesser of a person, less important. If you really wanted to be at the place of honor, it was right next to the host of the banquet. So he noticed how those who had been invited were again scrambling to get up there. They were prideful. Their pride was another type of dropsy, showing the fact that they were sinners. Pride goeth before a fall. Pride is arrogance before God. Paul says, "I will boast in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Far be it from me to boast in anything else." You know, self-esteem is a big thing these days. You got to teach the kids to have self-esteem, and many times what that produces is little monsters. I didn't say that. Kids, you know, you are little monsters. So am I. I'm a big monster, a sinful monster. We are called to humble ourselves before the Lord. The Lord looks upon the humble. He lifts up the lowly, but he brings the mighty down from their thrones. And anytime we seek a place of honor that God has not given us, again, that's a manifestation of the sinful nature within us. Because what higher honor can there be than to be named a child of God in Christ Jesus, as God so named you in your baptism? When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the place of honor, Jesus says, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him, and he who invited you both will come and say to you, "Give your place to this person," and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." The first shall be last, and the last first. Think about you. Think about me. We were last in the kingdom of God. We were without God. We were without knowledge of God until God sent His Son into the world. God sent His Son so that believing in Him, we would not perish but have eternal life. God sent His Son for you. God has forgiven you. God has given you the privilege of bearing His triune name. You belong to God. You have life eternal. Earthly honors, earthly status will pass away. What counts is the fact that you are a child of God in Christ Jesus. That's for all eternity. And that is what is most important of all. Because look, God in His grace and mercy has taken us sinners. He has declared us to be righteous. And He has exalted us who are lowly. And in the last place, to sit with Christ in the heavenly places. What greater honor than that could there possibly be? And if God has so honored us, why should we go mad trying to acquire earthly honors? Why should we put ourselves before other people? Esteem others better than yourselves, St. Paul writes. God lifts up the lowly and brings down the mighty, the proud, the arrogant from their thrones. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And again, you who have faith in Christ, you who come before God, acknowledging your sin, acknowledging that you are by nature sinful and unclean, acknowledging that you have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed, and that you have not loved your neighbor as yourself. You, by God's grace in Christ, have been exalted and named God's children despite your sin. The man who gave the banquet invited all of his friends, all of the people of equal or high status in the community. But Jesus said to him, "Hey, bud, you got it wrong. When you give a dinner or a banquet, don't invite your friends or your brothers, your relatives or rich neighbors. No, they'll invite you in return and you'll be repaid." It'll be back and forth. You invite them, they invite you. You invite them, they invite you. No! When you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, the nobodies, the people who are overlooked. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. Now, let us understand this, that we were the poor, we were the crippled, we were the lame, we were the blind, and yet God invited us to the banquet of His mercy and His salvation in Christ Jesus, our Savior. God invites us to the table where Christ gives us His body and blood, and we are blessed because of God's invitation. You see, God looks upon the proud with disdain. The things that people esteem are in God's eyes as nothing. So acknowledge yourself gladly to be one of the poor who are recipients of God's great mercy. Acknowledge yourself to be crippled and unable to come to God. But God has come to you in the incarnation of His Son. Acknowledge yourself to be lame. Acknowledge yourself to be blind. But God has opened your eyes through the gospel of His Son. Your eyes were opened in holy baptism. It was a healing salve for you in your body. And acknowledge that you are blessed by God. But there are others out there who are poor, who are crippled, who are lame, who are blind, physically and figuratively. should they have a place at the banquet table. You know, God has given us such a wonderful gift. God has invited us to His feast. How about others who do not know? How about others who have not heard of the love of God in Christ Jesus? Do we ignore them? If so, we are like the man who threw the banquet. God has invited us to His banquet. Again, we were low. We were last in the kingdom, but He has made us first. And there are others He would call to the banquet. And our congregation, small though it is, can and does have a part in inviting others to the wedding feast, inviting others to hear the good news, inviting others to receive the sacrament of Christ's body and His blood, a foretaste of the heavenly feast to come. And in doing so, we will be repaid at the resurrection of the just, the resurrection of those whom God has declared righteous in His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.